without that piece of information, I absolutely agree with what you say. If that were their property, I would have had every respect for the property. And I would have probably just, well, I don't know what I'd done. I'm glad I don't have to think about that. I understand the position that you take on that matter, but the pivotal information is that she was not correct. It was not her property, and I can walk on it. It's like the road, you know. It's like the road that runs in front of our houses. Same thing. KK4JBQ.
That you're right. That's a hard concept for me to wrap my hands around. I understand the reason for, you know, HOAs. I understand their intent and purpose, and that they are effective in achieving that purpose. But that's still difficult for me to wrap my hands around that. I don't know, other than to say you're right, that is foreign to me. That would take me some time to be comfortable with that. But I don't know enough about HOAs in my mind, because I'm not, don't live where you are. I can see in my mind the projection is that somebody is telling me what to do on the property that I'm paying for. That's exactly where my mind goes. But there's always more details to that. Devil's in the details, right? So it's kind of the same as I get out on a county road and I get a ticket for speeding. Well, I don't like it when I get a ticket for speeding. But the grand scheme of things is that because I got issued that ticket, it's going to slow me down. And that's going to make everybody safer. Because I'm not going to, when I have to pay that $300 ticket or whatever it is, that's a pretty stiff reminder to remind me, you know, I don't need to be speeding. So there are I have seen, changing gears here just a little bit, I have seen, I don't know what kind of antenna you're looking at, whether that's HF or 2 meter or whatever, but I have seen and had discussions with this same HOA thing that you're discussing with a couple of friends of mine, and one of my friends, there's a vent pipe that vents the off gas from the septic or sewage that's just part of the venting in the house for the plumbing, and it usually comes out the roof. And he put his little 2 meter job down in the vent pipe, and then got an attic and drilled a hole into the vent pipe for the coax to hook to. But like I said, I'm not sure what kind of antenna you're talking about, because if it's HF, then that's a little bit different animals than, you know, a Slim Jim or a Comet or whatever. But I can be a pretty sneaky person. I think if you know, if you need some help figuring that out, I'm pretty sure we can come up with something to make it look like Santa Claus, maybe. I'm not sure what kind of envelope you'd have with that, but maybe you could make a big a big wire antenna, you know, for the seasons. How about that? So November you could have an antenna shaped like a pumpkin, and then at Christmas you could have you could do a sleigh or red-nosed reindeer or Santa Claus. We'd come up with something, though. KO4NUE, KK4JBQ.
JI4LZI back. Very first 2-meter antenna I had up here at the house was it wasn't a copper jack pole. Of course, I didn't have the restrictions as far as being seen to concern that he does, but I had an aluminum jack pole that W4AKG built for me, and I had it mounted where I now got my 220 Ringo at, mounted on one of those pipes that you're talking about that lets it out air from the water system out into the air.
Right. And welcome back, Andy. KO4NUE, KI4LZI, KK4JBU. Go ahead, Larry.
Back, Andy. We're just past midnight, and we were about to change the subject matter to knives. And Chad, I mentioned to you watching some videos that actually an English who makes knives for a living posts on YouTube and taught me a lot about metallurgy that I didn't know about shop procedures and methods that I had no clue about. I've worked in shops, but I didn't harden the metal, and I didn't do the kinds of things that he does to even the handles. They call them skins on knives. Skins or scales. Depends on who you're talking to. And even the rivets that go through the handle into or and through the tank at the base of the knife blade in order to affix the skins or scales. And I found it fascinating. I just thought it was well presented. And he works. Don't know if you've ever seen this, but because he's very concerned about the air that he breathes while doing all of the things that he does, he wears something like a spacesuit. Honestly, it has like a helmet that he. It has a large visor. It's totally enclosed. Supported the weight of this is supported by shoulders, of course. And on the back, a HEPA filter that's always running and providing him with filtered air. Right there in his shop. Now, his shop is small. It's in what? Everything's small in England, I suppose. Because of, you know, the land restrictions that they have. Small gardens is what every ham in England speaks of. And using compromised antennas for length is a common thing over there. So that was what I was talking about. I mentioned Jack Lore knives. JACKLORE. That's the channel. He has two channels. One is ham radio and motorcycles. He's kind of crazy into touring on a motorcycle. And then the second channel is his knife making, which is his livelihood. But the way you described the knife that you saw in France was nothing like this guy makes, the Englishman. And he's very entertaining. He loves his dogs. He had two, and one of them passed. Dogs, and one of them passed. And he replaced that one with a breed that I've never heard of called a lurch. The way he describes it, the way the dog looks, it's like a small greyhound. And they are trained for being fast as far as hunting is concerned. They're hunting dogs. And they can chase down anything. Called lurch. You ever heard of that breed?
In my case, I certainly can. Go ahead, Chad, KI4LCI.
I've never heard of a lurch, Larry. That could be an English term, too, or slang English. I'm not sure. But, you know, just so you know, Larry, I've got a heat treat oven down here in the shop. I do some heat treating on some of the parts that I make. You know, so if you need to use that or access to it or how to use it, if you have an Apple product, as far as a computer goes, you can go to the app section, and I use a heat treat app that will tell you, first of all, you need a heat treatable metal. And when you have a metal that will react to heat treat, then I just use the app. There's tables and books. I got a machinery handbook guide down here in the shop that has the heat treat tables in it. And you know, you heat treat by time, the type of metal, and what time, how long you keep it submerged in the heat. And then when you are, you know, done with it, then you typically it has to go back in the oven and be tempered. Or to even out the draw or the hardness, in other words. So the way I envision and use heat treat is that some of the material I use is 4140, which is a chromalloy. It's a heat treatable chromalloy. And it's relatively hard when you get it, and that can make it kind of difficult to deal with when you're at a milling machine, or it can be costly because it destroys a bit in a minute, because it is an alloy. So usually with some parts I have had to take the material straight from the company that manufactured it, put it in the heat treat oven and temper it to bring the hardness down, because if you don't get the quench tables right, you can actually soften the material, which at some point that's an advantage. So if you have a heat-treatable metal that you're trying to work with that's too hard to work with, then you temper it and bring the hardness down, or bring the rock wool down. Once the rock wool is down, Then you work it, shape it the way you want. Then when you get your shape, then it goes back in the oven and you quench it in heat for a certain amount of time depending on the material. And then you harden it and you lock that shape in place. And once that hardening place is in place and done, and you let it cool, and then you go back in for a temper. And when you go in for the temper, that's what's going to fine-tune what hardness or what rock well you want the material at. So my whole point to all this is, boy, I ramble. if you need a heat treat or something, just let me know. I've got a heat treat down here and use it. You know, I built it myself. It works good. But you know, just saying, if you need access to that, just, you know, come on up. We'll heat treat whatever you got. And just gonna let you know that. KE04NUE, y'all, somebody take it.
For LCI, Larry, have you ever been up to his place in Liberty?
You know, I haven't, and that's something that we talked about correcting. Chad and I have not been eye to eye as yet. And, you know, we're going to fix that. But I have been taken on tour. We did a FaceTime thing, and Chad took me to a tour through his welding shop, and I guess in a separate building, his machine shop. And it's just one word. It's extraordinary. It's a one-man operation. I guess there are other people that help, but it's a one-man operation, and he's got some skills, this guy has. KK4JBQ.
Boy, LCI, well, he should. I've heard plenty of Chad's talk here, too, but I was saying that, but if you've been up to his place, you already know how to get there. That's just like me trying to tell you, you've lived in Greer down there all this time in recent times, and kind of like y'all was saying earlier, except he was opposite about living like where you live. You get out in these open areas, someone like you might get, you know, you hadn't been out in the country in a long, long time. You might kind of get lost. Like if you was ever come here and see this hole I live in, you'd probably never find it.
Andy, I'm going to make sure I've got it. Advantage, you see, I have a mobile radio, and Chad could talk me in. He could if I got lost, and I would get lost. No doubt about it. Chad, if you gave me an address and directions, I would just keep nodding my head. I've done that all my life. I have known people who could take turn-by-turn directions from here to Cincinnati, and they're amazing to me. They've got a map in their heads, I'm sure. I'm not like that. I can recall several times when I was a teenager and just learning to drive, how myself and my date would get lost. And myself, my date, and her best friend got lost one night. And I ran out of gas, and it was out in the middle of nowhere, and I didn't get either of them home before 2 a.m., and boy, I'll never forget that night. I'll never forget that night. There was no excuse that was going to be good enough for anybody's daddy. Yeah. But I've lived with this, and I celebrate the guy who ever thought of GPS and just putting an address into a thing the size of a cell phone, and take you from one place to another, turn by turn. That's how I live when I get in a car. K KK4JDQ.
Use the GPS to you get here in Campobello. If you do, you're gonna end up in the wrong spot. Because the GPS would take you in a nearby housing development and thinking you can get to the farm from there, and you just can't. I'm just saying, if you come here, don't use GPS. I'll have to get you within a mile or so and then walk you in on the radio or the cell phone. But as far as the property and liberty goes, there's not really an address for it. It's just a plat number. It's kind of, there's some houses on the driveway, on the main road that comes in, but going down to the deer camp, I don't know, it probably, 1,000, 1,500 yards maybe, before you get to the cabin. So if you don't know it's there, you just won't know it's there. But not sure how I got off on this, but Larry or Andy, you need some help with metal. We got something here that can either cut it, bend it, straighten it, flatten it. I remember years ago when I bought my first machine, me and Anna scraped and scrounged to buy a Bridgeport. I still got it, as a matter of fact, and paid $1,200 for it, and had him deliver it, and he dropped it off down here in Dad's shop, and it was a family affair when he showed up, because I was just so excited with, you know, this J-Hit Bridgeport, and so Anna was delighted to see me happy that I finally got the machine I wanted. And I remember her asking me, "What does this machine do again?" And I said, "Well, it makes round parts square." And she was happy with that. She said, "Oh, okay." And never questioned me again, never said another word. So, the next year, Dad and I went together and bought a lathe. Because when you do machine work, you can't just have a mill machine. You gotta have a lathe with it too. They work together to, you know, accomplish whatever part you're trying to make. So me and Dad went in Havertz and bought a lathe, $5,000, and we went in Havertz to buy it. And I went and picked it up and brought it home on a trailer. So she came running out in the yard to look at it, and Daddy was being, we was all out there looking at it, me and the kids. And Anna said, What does this machine do? And I said, "Well, it makes square parts round." And she says, "Okay, well, the first machine makes round parts square, and this machine makes square parts round. Why don't you just buy square stock material or round stock material so you don't have to have the machine?" I just remember thinking how her mind works sometimes. It's so, she can put things so simply, and it's usually right on the money, you know. KL4NUE, somebody take it.
JBQ, I knew that was coming. I absolutely knew that was coming. And I don't know your business like you do, but I do know what a good answer for that question would be. We needn't go into it here. I read something the other day that made me laugh, and I hope it makes you laugh. And it was written by somebody that has a lot of respect for women. And I do too, and I know you guys do. So let's get all that on the table. But this guy says, dealing with a woman is like trying to use your cell phone with 1,200 apps open all at the same time. Oh, dear. And I thought the absurdity of that. Yes, it's absurd sometimes. And you and it's not just women that think fast and respond in the simplest terms, because they've already determined that's what they need to do with you. Donna, I know when she's trying to talk, you know, when she's thinking over my head and she's trying to dumb it down for me. I know when that happens. I can tell. Well, we all do that with each other. Conversation is like that. Language is like that. Fortunately, I suppose. But the physical fact is that a female's brain, a human female's brain, has more connections. Think about it like electrical connections between the left brain and the right brain. We have two hemispheres. They're separate. They do different work. But when they can communicate back and forth, it's better, you know, for the thought process. They have twice as many connections as males do. So there is that advantage. And it's a physical thing, and it can't be argued with, and there's no changing it. No way people can change that. KK4JBQ.
Household, my sibling, sister, and my mother, so I really can't speak to any of that.
Well, I can. let's talk about colors for a minute. So it amazes me how here's my mind. My mind is red, blue, white, black, and yellow. Maybe an orange. The primaries. If I look at something that's, you know, a curtain or something going in the house, it's going to be one of those colors. And I'm usually right, you know, as far as my mind goes, with, you know, as far as the colors go in this situation. But not just my wife's mind, but my mother too is, well, that's, you know, fuchsia mauve or some junk like that. And I'm looking at it and I'm going, it's red. How can you know it's, and they'll argue that, no, that's not red. That's, you know, some strange color I've never heard of. It just amazes me how me and my wife can look at the same object and have just 180 degree opposite description about what it is. And sometimes I just have to lay my head in my hand and just say, oh, okay, all right. So let me tell you this real quick. So a couple of months ago, my wife has a sister, and they like to do antique-y kind of things, you know. And our lampshade over the family table is a copper moon. moonshining funnel that we've put a light bulb in and it hangs from the ceiling. Little bit kind of artsy. And I'm just not that way. I'm simple. She comes up with these ideas and I make it happen. Well, anyway, so her and her sister bought some kind of little antique something and they're trying to get the rust and paint off of it. And I'm in there out there scrubbing. You know, it got vinegar and coffee grounds and all this other stuff trying to get rust off. And I said, honey, why don't you just take it down to the bead blaster in the shop and bead blast it? And you get all that off in a couple of minutes. So they both looked at me funny, and I just dismissed it and said, okay, well, you know, my mind was thinking, you won't do it the hard way, go ahead. I just went on in the house. I didn't say nothing else about it. So she comes in there a couple minutes later, and she said, well, what is a bead blaster? What are you talking about? So I explained it to her, and then she went out and talked with her sister. And so here it comes. Now I've got to go get this thing they're working on, some kind of piece of metal they're gonna hang on the wall for something. Take it down to the shop. And you should have seen the both of them down there standing in front of that bead blaster. And they push the foot pedal, the glass bead comes out, and it instantly strips the rust and the paint off of the material. I mean, it's instant. And Lord have mercy, the questions. Well, can you do glass? What happens if you do this? What happens if you take this out and do this? And, you know, all these questions that come with it. And I said, well, here, let me just show y'all how to use it, and then I can step out. My goodness, you should see my bead blasting machine now. There's holes in the gloves. You can't see through the shield anymore because they've bead blasted the shield from the inside. Glass bead everywhere in the shop. Dust everywhere. I mean, my goodness. It just... they go down and use it for 20 minutes. They take them 2 hours to get it straightened up. KO4NUE. KK4JBQ. KI4LZI. Somebody take it.
BQ. Every man has to choose how to live in his household, and because everybody has a different situation. Let me take it out of that domestic situation and put it into another context. I would never have been. I worked in some shops too. And I would never have been allowed to use a drill press or a cutoff machine or some of the chemicals that were necessary for use in the work that we did without first being checked out. And somebody would be on me, just on me, until they felt good enough about it to turn me loose. I had been checked out. And but you know, you can't anticipate everything, and you're going to have losses. The gloves come to mind. You don't turn it on yourself. Because, you know, you're trying to hold it too tight or too close to the stream. Crossing the streams, you know, bad thing. Well, anyway, that brought a smile to my face. But I understand. I really do. And fortunately, my wife was raised by my father-in-law. He was an engineer. And
she knows that the simplest thing is infinitely complex. That's another thing you can write down, Chad. The simplest thing is infinitely complex. And Donna just looks at things that way. That's the way she sees the world. So if she's going to be interested in something, as long as I can succinctly put it, that is to say, I can't, with Donna, I can't ramble on. I have to say it in the fewest words I can say to get it across, because, you know, her mind is going click, 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 click. And, but we have reached a place where I can communicate what I need to, and, you know, I don't think she'd want to come in here and operate any of these radios, even though she has a license. KK4JBQ.
So, see, you need to take, when it comes to Donna, yes, you said her father was an engineer, but he did use his radio some at some point in time, or you wouldn't have never knew he was a ham radio operator. You need to take and get Donna to come in there, show that, being that you primarily, right now, due to your situation, using HT. Take and show her the proper way, the basics of using HT. And if I remember, you said you had it, another, some kind of outside antenna, makeshift, some kind of hook to it, so you don't have to stand on an egg, so to speak. But just learn her the basics of how to operate it and let her check in on the nets. And you too, you know, let her check herself in to you, like some of the others do sometimes, a few times, and let her learn it.
Absolutely right. KK4JBQ. Well, I've explained to Chad, I'm sure he remembers, and maybe you've never heard me say, Andy, that Donna has a license because, and only because, she wanted to preserve her father's call sign. He was in advanced class. He never, and many advanced class operators, and they don't give that license anymore. So by still holding an advanced license, you identify yourself as being in a certain generation of hams, you know, and there's not that much more spectrum that you get, which is the reward for taking another license exam. There's not that much more spectrum that an extra class holds that an advanced class can not use, I guess. So Donna wanted to study for the tech exam, and I helped her with that and encouraged her to do that. She got the license. She's preserving her father's call sign. It's in the family. She achieved her goal, you know, and that was that. It brings to my mind to say that the thing that you do in anything, any human endeavor that keeps you interested in it, that keeps you involved in it, is to offer yourself the next challenge. The next thing that you don't know whether you can do it, or maybe it's been done by other people, but you've never tried it. We need to offer ourselves challenges just to get into tomorrow. You know, one day moves into the next, but if you're going to be there with any pride, offer yourself a challenge and get it done. Well, so she had offered herself a challenge and she got it done, and that's all she's interested in, I'm pretty sure. Wendy, when she calls the net, sometimes I'll check in, and I always check Donna in, of course, along with myself. And Wendy will say, I'd sure like to hear Donna on the radio. Sunday, just encourage her to take the radio. And I know she could. So So I will keep that in mind, Andy. What both you and Wendy have impressed upon me. KK4 JPQ.
KK4 NUE. Let me check here. My sister-in-law, Anna's sister, she's moving into a refurbished house from the 30s or 40s, Mill Village, that kind of thing. And they've been preserving some of the wood and just keeping the basic structure of the house, and she's going to put her antique-y kind of things in there, you know. But after the Beat Blaster, you know, showing them how to use the Beat Blaster to take the material off. And once they saw how quickly that comes off with less work, I began to watch my wife make a connection that, okay, this is why he has these machines, because it just makes things so much faster to do the work. So I came back up to the house, and it wasn't, I don't know, they were done with whatever they were beat blasting, some kind of metal seat back or something for some chair. I mean, they were done, not, you know, it did take them, it probably 20 minutes to do it. Well, I'd come back up to the house, and here she comes with her sister, bebopping across the yard, and they come in and wash their hands, and she comes in there in the living room while I'm sitting in the chair. And when your wife starts a conversation off with you and she's got her hands on her hips, that can mean two things for me. One of them is, you know, we're fixing to have a heated discussion, and the other one is, I'm fixing to ask you some questions, and I need you to tell me, to help fill in the gaps. So she says, well, and it was a trap from the get-go. I got trapped from the beginning and didn't even realize it. I mean, just an ambush, walked right into it. So we want you to come down here and look at this and see if this is clean enough. And I said, well, honey, what do I need to look at it for? If the paint and rust is off of it, then it's clean. No, you need to come look at it. Okay, so went back down to the shop. I'm looking at it, and I'm thinking, why did she call me down here? This thing is, I mean, it's perfect, you know. And then the hands go back on the hips again, and she's, what does this machine do? And grabs the knob and starts turning the knob. What does this knob do? I just sat back for a minute and I thought, okay, well, that's, you know, this is a ridge port. It does this. You remember, it makes this round part square and this, that, and blah, blah, blah. Then she goes over to the lathe, and I've got a Kingston 17x70 lathe down there. It is my pride and joy. Just a dream to operate, you know, and does a fine job. And her sister, you know, they mosey over, and they just standing in front of the lathe looking at the lathe. And I just thought to myself, okay, I need to get this under control right now. I just went over there and got between both of them in the machine, and I said, no, 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 no. This is, nope, off limits, because I will not tolerate apprentice marks on any type of my machinery, and I'm really careful not to leave those marks on the machine. And we don't want to operate, we just want to know, what does it do? And that in itself was a trap. Because I end up getting repairing all of this antique stuff that, you know, making this or making that, which I don't mind. I'm not complaining at all. I'm just saying that my wife's mind sometimes amazes me, especially with my radios in here in the ham shack. We both have a license. But I'll go to the deer camp or go somewhere and come back, and my radios are off. I mean, just not a little bit off frequency. I mean, they're just way off. Or down in, you know, data bands or CW selection or this, that, and the other. And I'm just like, yeah, I don't even go here. What is... And she comes in and messes with my radios. Or, I'm sorry, our radios. And it's just funny is what I'm trying to say. I'm not complaining or saying anything negative. I'm just saying it's funny how she learns sometimes. And, you know, I have to be a part of that process to keep them from being damaged to the equipment or to the physical body. So, all right, Andy, you go ahead and take it. Or somebody.
JI4LCI, when it comes to the radio equipment there, you was talking about that and they're not knowing what you're doing. The one thing you better be sure all of you, even any, all of us, but especially them, are careful about is not to key a mic down with no antenna on the radio. Some of them does that, not being careful. The finals could be gone in them.
Let me make sure I got it. Shortly after we got our radios, I went up to the deer camp for a day or so. We're going to spend the night or something. And I have really good cell phone service up there. I can stand in certain spots if the weather is right and get a signal out or this, that, and the other. But usually it's pretty poor, or poor enough to not be dependable. Shortly after she got her license, she had seen me key the mic and talk, but as far as operating the radio, that's a little different ball game. She had seen me using EchoLink, and I put EchoLink on my cell phone and one of my tablets, and it took me, I don't know, a day and a half to figure out how to even validate. You have to send a copy of your license to whoever validates it on EchoLink. And once they validate your license, then they'll open, I guess, the gateway up so that you can actually use EchoLink after you get the app on. Well, it took me a day and a half to figure out how to do that, to scan the document and get it imported and all this other stuff. I'm just a little slow with that kind of stuff. And I get up to the deer camp with no cell phone, and I'm on the radio in the cabin. And, I mean, there she pops up on the radio, and I'm thinking, okay, I don't understand. You know, I haven't showed her how to use any of the radios yet, but she had figured out how to get on EchoLink, download the app, get the license verified, and it took them 24 hours to validate my call, and she got it in like 20 minutes, and I never showed her anything about EchoLink. She had it figured out, and, you know, just... Oh, my goodness. It's a wonderful thing sometimes. KO4NUE. Somebody take it.
JI4LCI. Same way right here as it is at your deer camp. Especially in the summer months. And even in the winter months, the cell service isn't reliable at all. That's the reason why I can't, like Larry there, I can't call him here when I'm here at home, because this old-fashioned landline won't allow me to do it, but I never have had reliable cell service here where I live at, and I doubt that I ever will, but I know kind of about how that stands on that, but I was just thinking about the finals on your radios, because anybody, if they make a boo-boo, you know, there's certain protections in it, but you don't ever want to let that happen if you can avoid it. Go ahead, Larry, KI4LCI.
KK4JBQ. You are right about that, Andy. That's a mistake you don't want to make. I think the only way I would, and I do daydream about having antennas here. I've thought about it for many years. I've always gotten real realistic about it, even though I let my mind go. I know I'll never think this through until I let my mind go and not put up too many blocks before I get it all the way to the end of that particular thought. I know that. But it just continues to make it frustrating. But I imagined that I would have at least three antennas here. I have an antenna switch. You might think, well, goodness, what is this guy who doesn't have even two antennas have an antenna switch? Well, I have one. I have a nice antenna switch, and I have a place to put it. I've already thought all that out. Chad, I don't want to go any further before I say thank you for the 2-meter antenna that you made for me. I have devised a way, if I can just get beyond the fear that somebody's going to threaten my domicile by pointing out that I'm using a contraband device here on the property. Anyway, I figured that I have a 20-meter vertical that is simply a wire inside a extendable mast. Fiberglass, I think it is. And I do know how to put that antenna into service. And I think I can keep it down. It wouldn't be much higher than the copper slim jim when it is in the down position. And when it's nighttime, I'll just put that sucker up in the air. Being black fiberglass, no one's going to be able to see it. Anyway, that's how my mind goes, and it is a jumble by now, you know, with over 10 years of thinking of every way I can think of I just don't want to have the first person to come to me and say, you can't have that. You can't have that. I don't want that first challenge. I know myself well enough to know that I won't deal with it very well. I mean, I won't jump down the person's throat or anything. I won't do that. But I'll beat myself up. Yeah, I don't want to do that. Okay. So I have this antenna switch, and I think there's a middle position on that switch to switch it to ground. That got off before my KK4JBQ. I use this antenna switch just to switch it from the antenna to the ground position. So this puts my radio, even this one, because it's on the feed line,
it puts it to ground. And that's the safest place. It's sort of like a parking place. KK4JBQ.